I come from a state which is the largest agricultural state in the Union, and that's California. And this season, California in mid-season will need 450,000 agricultural workers. And the fact is that this is the one industry, agriculture, which depends to a great extent on an undocumented immigrant workforce. This is one industry where you need labor to plant, to prune, to fertilize, to pick, and to can. And without that, America ceases to be a major breadbasket. And I am very, very concerned. I've worked now with Senator Craig, and last year we passed a bill as part of the immigration bill, which provided a five-year program whereby workers would be able to receive documentation and continue to work, and that work over a period of time would enable them to gain a green card. It would establish for agriculture a consistent workforce. It's called Ag Jobs. It has a lot of support. Right here are the signatures of 880 organizations in support of this legislation. The group assembled here, I think, is adequate testimony to the fact that this legislation is really necessary. Now, I can speak for my state, and what's happening in my state is that some farmers aren't planting. Others are moving away from high labor crops, like strawberries, like asparagus, like bell peppers. And their fear is that when the time for picking comes, they won't be able to harvest their crop. And that's a very serious concern. In specialty crops, California produces 90% of the specialty crops for the entire nation. What happens if you can't harvest, if you can't prune, if you can't pick? What happens is prices for virtually everyone all across this nation will soar. You'll have people that will not be able to pay their mortgages, and you'll have farms going out of business. This is a very important bill. Senator Craig and I have remained steadfast in the fact that Ag Jobs, as written, as passed next year, must be part of any immigration bill. Absent an immigration bill, we feel that we should put it forward as a separate entity, and that it should have an operative date, which would be upon the signature of a president. Wednesday, we go to immigration on the floor of the United States Senate. So Wednesday is a kind of D-Day. We feel very strongly that this bill, which has been negotiated over a 10-year period between the growers, between various farm organizations, between farm workers' unions, should go forward as written, and I'm very hopeful that it will. Thank you.
If we do not get this right, American producers will do just as Diane has suggested. They will start changing their farming practices, or they will go out of business altogether. They will disinvest of the American agricultural portfolio, and they will take their production elsewhere, to Brazil, to Argentina, to Chile, and places where one large farmer in the Central Valley of California told me a year ago, if the labor force can't come here, we must go where the labor force is for the type of agriculture we produce. That would be a tragic day for American agriculture, but it would also be a tragic day for the American consumer. That is the debate that is before us. It is complicated, it is detailed, but both Senator Feinstein and I saw this problem working with American agriculture management and labor nearly a decade ago. We've been at the business of trying to solve it. We will stay at it till it gets solved, because America's agricultural future hangs in the balance.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Senator Feinstein and Senator Craig, and members of the press. I'm Maureen Torrey Marshall, an 11th generation vegetable and dairy farmer from Western New York. Yesterday, my phone rings. It's a neighboring farmer Do you have any extra help? I can't find anyone. I have to choose what job to do, plant or pack. It rings again. Another farmer states he started in January to get 3 H2A workers, and he still doesn't have them. How am I going to get my crops planted, he asked. Help wanted ads have been running in the local media since February. $9.50 per hour plus housing plus transportation, an average value of over $15 an hour to the employee. No one has applied, not even the unskilled. The phone rings again. It's the local ag lender. He's working on approving farm loans. Do you think his farmers will find labor for the season? My response to the banker is that labor is tight right now. Until last July, I always had enough workers, and by last September, I was 40% short and having to pick and choose what I harvest every day. I tell him I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few months or even if our farm will make it till December. I do know that our family farms are in a crisis, whether you need one employee or 400 employees for jobs that include benefits such as health insurance, competitive wages, retirement plans, profit sharing. It doesn't matter if you are a dairy, vegetable, greenhouse fruit, nursery, or Christmas tree farmer. No one has enough labor, no matter what their legal status is. We need solutions to our immediate crisis in American agriculture, as I testified to this House Small Business Committee last week. First, we need a reliable and affordable guest worker program. We need reforms to the 50-year-old H2A program that would make it more streamlined and affordable and less litigation prone. Secondly, we need an opportunity for trained, experienced, and otherwise law-abiding farm workers to have a chance to continue working and to earn the right to become legal residents of the U.S. subject to strict conditions. A sensible earned adjustment of status program for agriculture would reward hard work and commitment, true American values on which our country was built. Not only are our family farms at risk, but also our rural communities, where the main economic drive is farms. Statistics indicate that each farm worker generates and supports 3 to 4 additional jobs in the surrounding economy. We urge Congress to get the job down now before the crisis grows more. It's either import our food or import our labor. For the future of food production in the U.S. and to secure a safe and abundant food supplies, please, Congress, act now on immigration reform. Thank you.
My name is Tom Nassif. I am President and CEO of Western Growers. We represent the fresh produce industries in California and Arizona. Approximately 90% of the vegetables and 70% of the fruits and tree nuts in California and Arizona, which amounts to about 50% of the produce in the country. What do farmers want? We want a legal, stable, economic workforce. What are we for? We're for strong borders, workplace enforcement, fraud-proof identification cards. Why is it so difficult to come up with a formula that will give that to us? Not one of the 535 members of the Congress was elected to do nothing about one of the most vexing problems facing our country. Not one of them ran for office on the premise that they'd make good followers. So let's find the leadership that they exhibit in running for office. And if they can't find a way to find that secret formula, all they have to do is either ask Senators Feinstein and Craig for their formula or give them their proxies. They know how to do more than talk. They know how to lead. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Phil Glaze. I'm a third-generation fruit grower from Virginia. My family's business grows, packs, and ships apples for the fresh market and the processing market. We've been in operation since the 1920s. The U.S. apple industry is a $2 billion industry with over 7,500 commercial growers nationwide, most of whom are family operations. Fruit production is very labor-intensive. Labor accounts for approximately 50% of the cost of producing apples. It is physically demanding, skilled work that is highly seasonal and does not attract enough U.S.-born workers to get the job done. Without migrant workers who have stepped in to fill these positions, we would not have enough workers to prune, thin, or pick our crop. At Glaze Orchards, we work with farm labor contractors to secure workers for the harvest season. We have done this for the past 17 years, and until last year, have been able to secure enough workers. Last year, our farm saw shortages that averaged about 15%. As a result, many apples did not get picked at optimal maturity, which meant they had to be sold at a discounted price. I can remember one particular section of trees we didn't pick at all, because we needed to protect the value of another variety, which was advancing in maturity. Harvesting fruit is not a precise science, and a sudden change in weather can mean a longer or shorter harvest season. The H2A program is set up in a manner that cannot respond effectively to the unpredictability of nature. It is cumbersome, bureaucratic, and offers no flexibility. For example, under the program, you must designate the arrival and departure date of your workers 3 months before you know when you might actually need them. Adjusting this schedule to fit changing harvest times is allowed in the regulations, but has not worked in the real world. A neighbor of mine who uses the H2A program realized last fall that he would need to keep his workers longer than originally anticipated. He filed the appropriate forms to extend their stay, but never heard back from Homeland Security. He had to send the workers home before the harvest was completed, and as a result, he lost fruit to the ground. That grower just received an answer from Homeland Security last month. Many growers entered the H2A program last year only to find that without the help of a member of Congress, their workers might never show up. The New York Apple Association described this past year's harvest as a crisis, with many growers in the region reporting that labor supplies were down by as much as 30%. I've heard similar stories from other growers across the country. The apple industry does not receive government subsidies and receives little support from the federal government. However, securing legal, reliable labor is an area where we need the government's help, and without it, we could see the end of a domestic apple industry. The U.S. Apple Association estimates that if Congress fails to enact legislation now, it will cost the industry over $570 million annually. The past few years have brought optimism to our business. Demand has been strong as consumers are more focused on health and nutrition and battling obesity. McDonald's, Subway, other quick service shops, and even gourmet restaurants are now featuring apples. But instead of making plans to expand markets or planting trees, apple growers are worried about how they will get the current crop picked. As demand continues to increase, our foreign competitors with ample labor supplies would enjoy seeing our crop shrink so they can increase their market share here at our expense. This is not a problem we can solve by ourselves. American apple growers ask Congress to pass ag jobs so we'll have reliable and legal workers. We support a program that we can participate in with confidence that it will work. The stakes are high, and in fact, the future of much of the American apple crop depends on choices made now by Congress. Thank you.
My name is Celia Vasquez, and I'm a farmer from Watsonville, California. I feel humbled to be here today in the nation's capital and to be part of the American dream. I came to this country many years ago. I was 12 years old. My family had only a dream and the desire to one day own land of our own and create a good life. We have lived and accomplished my dream. I started by picking olives and strawberries at 95 cents per hour, and in 1970, we took a big risk by leasing land to grow strawberries. A few years later, we purchased some land and eventually came to own 150 acres to produce strawberries and herbs. Part of my dream was for my children to receive a quality education, and I'm proud to say that my four children are college graduates, and today my sons are part of my farm operation. I'm proud to be a farmer, and I hope and I dream that my grandchildren can be part of the next generation of strawberry growers. My message today is Congress holds in its hands the ability to keep farmers like myself in business, producing food in the United States. I support the Ag Jobs Farm Worker Program. We have seen what happened with our dependence on foreign oil, so we should not repeat that lesson. For us here, there is no margin of error. If we can't harvest our crops in a timely manner, our product and our annual paycheck is lost. We simply cannot survive on the promise that enough workers will show up or that if we pay more, the problem will be solved by itself. We need help, and we need help now. In our area, the strawberry harvest started a few weeks ago, and from what I'm seeing, and in talking to my neighbors, the labor supply is the tightest that has ever been, much tighter than last year, when we barely got by. This time of year, the demand for workers only increases as the weeks go by. Just as I'm looking for workers, so are other producers, like cherries, apricots, peaches, plums, vegetables, melons. And as the summer goes by, the demand keeps rising with the grapes, pears, tomatoes, olives. It is an accepted fact that our country does not have the workers to harvest our crops. They are either not available for seasonal jobs, or they are unwilling or unable to do the work. As Americans, we have a choice. We can harvest our crops with help of a foreign-born workforce, or we can rely on foreign countries to produce our food. Just as I am humbled to be here today, I also come with a great sense of urgency and a strong appeal. I urge Congress to move past controversy and pass Ag Jobs legislation before it's too late. Thank you.
My name is Mike Gempler, and I'm Executive Director of the Washington Growers League and President of the National Council of Agricultural Employers. And I would like to briefly recount a story about the local labor market. I've heard people say that there are plenty of Americans to harvest our crops and do the work in agriculture. Well, we decided to test the labor market. And despite extraordinary efforts to turn over every stone, we could not find enough people in the local areas in apple country, where we grow approximately 60% of the nation's apples in eastern Washington, to do the work in that crop. We teamed up with our state employment department and put on orientations in six major apple country cities, invited people through media advertising, newspapers, radio, who had never picked apples or who hadn't picked them in a long time, to come on down and get some training, learn how to do it, put on a picking bag, learn how to move a ladder, have local growers there to train them. We had jobs waiting, ready to refer people out to the orchards that day or the next morning. We started with 1,700 job openings on the first day, went to six different cities. We had 40 people show up statewide. We tested the labor market, and we turned over those stones. We believe we really need ag jobs. We really need to be able to continue to utilize our experienced workforce and to have an affordable guest worker temporary visa program as afforded by ag jobs. Thank you.
Well, there's no easy direct way to answer that. We have a meeting at 3:00 this afternoon, and both Senator Craig and I will be there. And we have made very clear in prior meetings that it's ag jobs as written. Both the ag jobs provisions and the H-2A reform. This is the agricultural program for America, no other. And so we have asked that that be included in the bill. Now, there are a few dissenters, and some are trying to negotiate with them, but we feel very strongly. We've checked with growers, we've checked with farmers, we've checked with United Farm Workers Union, and everybody believes, look, we spent all this time negotiating the bill. Both sides gave in on labor provisions, on other things, so that it's a compromise, and it's a delicate balance, and we should keep that balance. We have drafted ag jobs as it was passed before, and it's being drafted, we think, as part of a bipartisan bill. If it doesn't fit, if it's changed as part of the bipartisan bill, both Senator Craig and I reserve the right to introduce it as a standalone or as an amendment to the bill that's on the floor. Hard to tell right now, but Senator Kennedy just spoke to the Democratic caucus. Senator Craig would be interested in this, and he said, we probably have a bill that pleases no one. So maybe that's the bill that is the best we can do. And perhaps that's the case. Now, the devil's always in the details, and we'll hear those details at 3 o'clock. But D-Day is Wednesday, so we have to have something. We are ready. We've got ag jobs ready to go to the floor. Well, that's passed now. It's done, and we're going to be on the floor. This is a big issue for the American people. The American people want us to vote on it. And they want their borders protected. They want strong employer sanctions that work. They want fraud-proof identity cards. And they want to be able to hire a legal workforce. I think the path to legalization, which I think everyone has now agreed to, and incidentally, I just saw some poll numbers, 80% of the American people agree with this approach. So I think we can get it done if we put our minds to it. I'd like to ask Senator Craig if he wanted to make a comment.
On an issue as controversial and as complicated as this is, and I think any of us who ventured into it, whether it was a long time ago or just last week, begins to understand the complication of a comprehensive bill, let alone the detail of ag jobs itself. Deadlines are important. They drive us to make decisions and force things to happen in this Congress. And when you're dealing with something controversial, it's a bit like a hot stove. You don't necessarily want to touch it until you have to touch it. So I don't blame the leader for driving us there. I just hope that in that process, we can get the new bill, a new framework, if you will. Ag jobs fits very comfortably, in my opinion, within that framework.
Well, there is a housing provision. There also are the provisions of how the adverse wage is handled, which has been a point of controversy. It is frozen for 3 years, and I'll let Senator Craig in a moment describe the process more fully. The time to be able to apply, which as somebody testified to a moment ago, is now 2 to 3 months, and this is reduced now to 2 to 3 days. So it is a very fast-moving process. And Larry, why don't you tell them about how the wage issues are handled?
I think that when most people think of ag jobs, they fail to think of it as two separate pieces within a single piece. First of all, how do you deal with those who are currently in country in an earned, adjusted status way to keep them here and keep them in agriculture and to give them a status that brings them into a process of rights and fair treatment versus being outside and in the shadows and in the alleys, if you will. That's one side of it. The other side of it is a major streamlining of the old H-2A program so that we have a timely, workable guest worker program that has all of the human rights protections in it. It does reevaluate the wage scale from the adverse wage. It rolls it back 3 years, holds it there while a commission is formed to design a new wage structure that is not out of sync with other comparable wages within the workforce. And there's a whole complication of other things, including housing and transportation, as Senator Feinstein mentioned. But it is a total bill, but it has two very distinctive parts dealing with current situations and future needs.
We really can't wait, or it's simply going to mean more economic damage. And I think there are political experts in this room who know about the impact of presidential elections and so forth, but we think now is the time.
Speaking on my behalf, if we couldn't get a comprehensive immigration bill, we would settle for ag jobs because we are in the crisis situation. New York State is predicting we're going to lose over 900 farmers this year because of this issue. I'm the largest farmer in New York State. I don't know if I'm going to be here in December. I look at how hard my labor is working right now just to struggle to get the crop in the ground, not knowing if we're going to have labor available in August and September. We were short last year. We had to work hard. We worked in the mud. We worked together as a family. I have 400 employees. Many of them worked for me for many years. All of my labor is referred to me from the New York State Department of Labor, so I've done everything to ensure that I have a documented labor force. But I don't. I have ICE raids. We have people picked up from church, from going to the grocery store, from driving down the road because they have brown skin. My 12th generation isn't going to be here next year if we don't act on this now, if Congress doesn't act on it now, and we need ag jobs. I do a lot of speaking to service groups, a lot of educating, letters to the editor, inviting people to come out and see what the real world's like out there. Question college classes. Don't you think we treat our labor well? They're our number one asset for a specialty crop. Or if I'm a dairy farmer, they're the ones that are milking my cows. And if I don't have them, my cows are going to die in 2 days. We have to educate. And education is very important because ag employment has been painted as low wages, and it isn't. And once you start pointing things out to people and people start to think for themselves, they realize that that's why these people are here and why they're working and why domestic laborers come in and also work on the farms. I think it's been demonstrated that I know in Florida, harvesting the citrus crop over a year ago, I heard wages as high as $18 to $21 an hour. On our case, in our farm, we're paying more than any local manufacturing factory is, whether it's union or non-union, for people to work on our farm. Because we would not be there if it wasn't for the people that work for us.
We're not blowing smoke. The statistics that have been stated here today are real. In addition, the farm economy, the agriculture economy over the past few years has not been the strongest. We can't really afford to lose one crop. Should we lose our apple crop this year, I think the banks would have a lot to say about whether we continue our operation or not, and I think I know what the answer would be. We cannot lose this apple crop.